You are listening to an Enoch Pratt Free Library podcast.
Your journey.
Your journey.
Your journey.
Your journey. Your journey
starts here.
Here.
I love you.
Okay, and Taylor, you're going to come back to the podium in between. Okay, perfect. Okay. Oh, that made a loud noise. Sorry. Hello. Okay, loud. Okay, hi everyone. Thank you so much for coming and thank you for your patience as we got ready to start. I'm Shailene. I'm the Writer in Residence Coordinator and I am very excited to welcome you all to the library. Thank you for this very special event. And before we begin, I just want to mention a few housekeeping items. First, the library offers a wide variety of programs for people interested in poetry and in writing, and we'd love to have you come back for other poetry events. And there is an email list sign-up sheet over on the side there. You can sign up for our list, and you will get notifications about poetry events at the Pratt Library. Also on the side table, you can find free copies of a zine that includes work by poets reading today. And you can also find copies of a broadside featuring a gorgeous poem by our Hackerman writer in residence, Taylor Johnson. A few of the poets reading tonight will also be selling or promoting their own books at table over here after the reading. So those books are not giveaways. Those are for sale. but I'm sure they'd be happy to chat with you about those after our reading. So today's event is extremely special. It's the last event of Taylor Johnson's term as the Pratt Library's Hackerman Writer in Residence. As many of you know, Taylor is the author of a beautiful book called Inheritance, which was published in 2020 by Ellis James Books. And he is the recipient of a Whiting Award. And he has published in Poetry Magazine, the Paris Review, and elsewhere. Taylor worked with the Pratt community in many wonderful ways as our resident, but the heart of his programming truly has been the monthly poetry workshop series that he facilitated from October through May. A large group of gifted and enthusiastic creatives participated in these workshops and grew as writers through Taylor's deep attention to craft and community. Some, not all, but some of these writers are here to share work today. And who better to introduce them to you than Taylor? So please help me to welcome Taylor Johnson.
All right. Thanks for being here, y'all. I'm so glad that you all came out and the people who are with you to come out and support y'all. It's really beautiful to see everybody. It's been a pleasure to work with y'all. I said this last week that, you know, ultimately I'm glad that y'all had the time to get to know each other and that I could just be the intermediary of that kind of connection. And the thing that feels important to also say is, you know, I said a lot of things that were, you know, pretty in-stop period sentences about poetry. Now it's the time for you to forget everything I said and lean on your own understanding, okay? All right, so we're going to get going. I haven't hosted a poetry event since I was in my 20s, so bear with me. Our first poet is Star, and then on deck we have A.K. Alder. Welcome, Star. Star's current favorite poem and author is A Poem is a Protest by Frequency. Star uses she, they pronouns. Welcome, Star.
Hi. okay, this poem is called A Lack of Consent. Okay. Oh, thank you. The body be a shapeshifter, moving through the day, succumbing to all that lie ahead, forcing us to keep going even when the grief gets to be too much, even as the elephant greets my chest again, forcing the breath to cling to its last moments of oxygen, the body, be a shapeshifter, contorting for the sake of survival, still getting the work done, still expected to move, to grieve, to surrender, to choose you, I mean me, the body, be a shapeshifter, accommodating to a life where people have forgotten parts of themselves, hiding behind dreams that were never theirs in the first place, praying, begging, screaming for forgiveness, crying as an act of release, a plea for change, a call to action, the body, be a shapeshifter, trying to challenge system, but system bite back. System indoctrinates. System enforce propaganda. System don't like, the system don't give a fuck. System will leave you dead, say it's your fault, and get away with it. System don't like consent. Say they don't believe in it. Say this is what you wanted, what you begged for. System, I mean the body, be a shapeshifter. Swaddling me in its arms, liberated in its radical ability to hold, to love, despite always bringing me back, charging me with a call to remember self, to remember love, to remember and remember and remember that the body be a shapeshifter. Thanks.
Right on. Thank you, Star. All right, our next poet is A.K. Alder. Their pronouns are they, them. And their current favorite poem is their all-time favorite poem, which is Fulfillment by Langston Hughes. Welcome, A.K. Alder. On deck is Amber.
Hi, everybody. I'm Alder, and I write under the name A.K. Alder. This poem explores a little bit of my journey with trying to learn the Irish language and incorporate it into my poetry. So if anybody out there speaks Irish, it's Dalton Nuame, so please forgive any mispronunciations. And also, I'd love to talk to you after this. Yeah. Okay, so this one is called Dance of the Dream. A place I frequent is a square within a square within a box. We meet at lunchtime on Mondays. I'm always a few minutes late, and my teacher greets me as I come online with Giagwich, God with you. And if I remember correctly, I tell him Gias Murugwich, God and Mary with you. But many a time I don't remember Mary, and she is left out of the half spell we cast for hellos. In a language many call dying and disappearing, we find ourselves chock full of the dead. We be conjuring them and naming the land alive. And when us as students like Rasheen or our great teachers like Mankan pass away, we take a beat to remember how to comfort the bereaved. Tashir arshli nafirna. They are on the way of truth. In a dance of the dream of a language remembered and reclaimed, we will always find ourselves alive where others see us dead. And this next one is going to be the one that's in this beautiful zine that is available over there. So this one is called Both And. I begin and end in the tides, roll, waft on this or that lapped wave, quietly kiss the bow of a boat, revel in sunlight flecks glittering on the chop tank on the warmest day of the year, glitz in heavy night, bioluminescent, chock full of glowing marine life light, throw a soiree under the summer sun, then surrender to nightfall's show. Thank you so much.
All right, thank you so much, Alder. Our next poet is Amber August. Amber's favorite poem right now is Drenched in Reflection by Jazzle James. Her pronouns are she, her. On deck, we have Tober. Welcome, Amber.
Hey, y'all. This poem is entitled... Hello. This poem is entitled Daylight Savings Time. That bitch took my hour. She gonna take and tell me it's for the best, as if she know what's best for me. Hell, I just wanted a little extra time to unwind, and here this bitch go, Taken. The one thing I can't get no more of all these minutes falling victim to her superficial women. I bet she wouldn't like it if she were me. Stuck to a clock that keeps dwindling down into nothing. Reminded that I'm on borrowed time while borrowing money to pay for all the shit I need and want. You know what? Fuck her. Yeah, I said it. Fuck the arms that tick on without my consent. Fuck the dial that's spins like a drunk disc jockey, and fuck the groundhog and all his stupid shadow for bringing winter. That's poem number one. And this is called Chirp. My phone is silent, but my tablet barks. It's a hypocrisy, and I don't want to change. I'm wearing shorts in my cold winter room out of early morning convenience, not sanity. I have calls to make with the plan even the money app says I pay too much for, and so many things to read so I'm not behind are three windows and a past I still taste the edges of. And on the sill are romance novels I like because they remind me that somewhere, somehow, it is still safe to melt in the arms of a lover or alone in bed. Silently. Thank you.
Right on. Thank you, Amber. All right, next we got Tober. Tober, when asked what his favorite poem is, he said, "When You Have Forgotten Sunday, The Love Story by Gwendolyn Brooks." Welcome, Tober. On deck is Jessica.
I'll be reading a poem called September 8, 2025. And this was written one night. I had a name come to me, someone I hadn't thought of for 10, 15 years, hadn't seen them in 10, 15 years. And because we have the internet, it's very tempting to go try to find out what's going on with them, you know? And it didn't take very long, but what I found was not great. And it was kind of a grieving moment for me, so the poem came from that. God, stop giving back the names of people I can do nothing about. Tonight is Lamonte, his kitchen knife out, happy. At Ring Around the Rosie with Scared Sister, in my time alone with him, that only happened once. Unconverted at youth group, first pick at wiffle ball. Synonymous with the schoolyard drugs, easy target for study hall trash fires. I knew him for the elbow noodle grin when he was just messing. I always trusted that. And the cologne of freedom that clung like a jewel piece whenever he got out the pick comb from his gym locker. Beyond that were names for him I could not speak to. Beyond then were years of his I could not see, Lamonte. It only took a single scroll down page one to come upon a date that said there'd been a little more and then none. I must have been in Iceland, spending a lot of money by choice, learning long, hard words that took a gutted out mouth and a harsh taste for vowels, going dry tongued in need of fresh spirit, repeating easy phrases to jog my memory, Giomanti. Had I known on the day I drove along cliffs of moss what I know now about that day on the internet, nothing would have turned out different. So God, start saying the names of the living again, that a righteous, hungry heart may have the chance to write for a forgotten friend a different end. Thank you.
All right, thank you, Tober. Next, we have Jessica Crowley Ambrose, whose current favorite poem is Growing with the Grass by Clementina Suarez. Welcome, Jessica. On deck, we have Shatera.
Hi, thank you, Taylor. Thank you, everyone. It's been a pleasure to be in your company throughout the program. The first poem I am reading is called Mouth. On the precipice of a scholarly road, though refined, polished, though polish never suited me, let eloquence keep its pacing. I know the language of city streets, of open water. It is enough, more than enough. I remember the triangle patch of moss, the tall tomatoes, the toads croak as tires roll over wet road. There is no place between city streets and open waters I'd rather stand. I bend and dig a marrow. I look up, hooves, shoes, stars, all of it flashing in the dark. Let it come. Let me wallow in the mystery. Let the tear fall. Let me fight for what it's worth. The universe gives one dove, one verse, one hard, one song. I take it in my mouth, and I make it live. This poem's called E. If E were here, E would be here, and here would be E. A flowing flow that flows because it is subtle, subtler than the theory of subtlety. The witch from which rocks rise, rising because rising is what rocks do when rising. E blesses the dead who bless the blessing. E removes the obstacle's obstacle until between becomes between. Take a breath. A breath repeating the breath that repeats it. E repeating to clarify clarity, sun and moon, a circle inflexible because inflexible is its flex. E is strong-willed. Strong will is ideal, yet surreal. He knows the flow in years to come. If E were here, E want no power to control. E eases to hold a hand that holds an olive branch, with impediments impeded until they are not. Movements of E are absorbed by air. In between E emerging, emerging is a kind of merge. E breathes into me a pulse folding into upward, spiraling into downward, lifting upward. A flowing that flows slowly with sorrow. E strikes that which may desire subtler than even the pull of memory. I desire a beat. E is a feeling struck from my chest, and a frantic opening, then a slow one. Slowly, my ribs open, a ribbon of ribs opening, like a bloom that hums that humans hum. The forgotten rose bouquet breathes into bloom where the bone key called E becomes possible. Thank you.
Okay, right on, right on. Okay, our next poet is Shatira Davis, whose current favorite poem is Touched by an Angel by Maya Angelou. Welcome, Shatira Davis.
Hi, I'm Shatira. I actually write under Ocean Ainu, and my poem is called The 12 Laws, The Webs We Weave. We are woven together like fabric. Every stitch has a place. One supports the other. We lay to strengthen one another. The seam pins in the shape. We move, each member building endlessly, soft web interlaced with the essence of our being. Nothing is ever still here. Unique patterns we weave, drawing lines around our past, reminiscent of our youth, breathing yet mechanical, cyclical representations of our nature. The foundation has been built. We wait for perception to touch down, unseeing, trapped, coming home to itself. Hunger is a murderer of empathy. Hunting along the outstretched limbs of hope, inescapable. I become the source of your pain, the source of your transmutation. This was always in our nature, and nature owns us. Time kills us all. Some deaths are slower, unseen, but never painless. It moves, draped in the vigor of life, but with far more cruelty. We are always paying, in time, with essence, with energy. The price is no stranger to increasing. To the fly, I am a monster. To you, I am a mother. To me, you are a murderer. We are only perspectives. I was light. Now you are. I become darkness, perception perceiving itself. We are woven together like fabric, you and me, pinned down by the stitches of our nature. Was I always destined to succumb to you? Were we always destined to become the very webs we weave endlessly? Thank you.
Right on, Shatira Davis. Okay, great, great, great. Next poet is Brian Forehand on deck. We got Lawrence Grand Prix. When asked what his favorite poem is, Brian said, "How the Worst Day of My Life Became the Best" by Andrea Gibson. Welcome, Brian Forehand.
Hi, everyone. This is a poem I wrote a couple years ago that I've revisited as part of the workshop, and so it's still kind of a work in progress in that degree. And it's called The First of June. June, this month of transition, metamorphosis, spring into summer, school days into summer breaks, awkward insecurity, alienation and ostracization into acceptance, pride. June, this month of our fathers, and the loss of my father. On an early June day when the rainbow's colors drained and their ends held no gold, and grief's end seemed as elusive as those arced illusions. June now brings this reckoning with reality, this anniversary of a year of grief's repeating, the phoenix emerging from the ashes, all too aware of its fate. We rise like the sun casting long shadows upon the earth, the long shadows that are but residual, residing in the ephemeral, untouchable yet somehow manifest as physical, pangs and pain. The long cold finger of grief remains. This month that ends in the middle, midway between each year's resolutions, the meat, the belly of the Ouroboros, unaware of time's devouring at its ends, the cycle of change held in orbit, repeated, revisited, yet never really relived. If we did not mark the days, leave these tracks, these hash marks on the wall, would we know where we even are in this revolution? How far we've come, how far we've yet to go, to have the chance to start again towards progress? Will the season of change make any difference this time around? Thank you.
Thank you, Brian. All right, our next poet is Lawrence Grand Prix, who, when asked what his favorite poem is, he said, "Ma Rainey" by Sterling A. Brown. Lawrence is also going to read a poem by Eleanor Fleming. Welcome, Lawrence. On deck is Max Gregg.
Good afternoon. Eleanor is on a train trip with her aunt to Yellowstone National Park, so I'm reading her poem first in mine. Her poem is called "Standing in a Turned Over Cornfield Watching an Eclipse, the 8th of April, 2024. Destined for Lake City, Michigan, deterred by traffic, a detour off Highway 66 is made, seeking actual road less travel. A turned over cornfield emerges, a road less travel with a single home in sight. Inviting, no. Empty, yes. We pull over to park and wait. Standing in a turned over cornfield, we gaze upward. The brown, decomposing stalks are soft and mushy under our feet. A far cry from their glory days for standing firm and green and producing bright yellow or white or blue or purple or multicolored corn. We stand on what remains. Where corn stalks once stood, now stands open space. An expanse of browns, not even a single blade of green. Farmers till to prepare, digging up, turning over, agitating. Whatever there is remains to be seen, and so we look up. The moon moves across the sun, having its say, taking its space for all to see, inviting a pause at midday, creating a community out of strangers in this turned-over cornfield. I have glasses, if you need them. Want me to take your picture? You had a good idea in stopping here. Can we join you? White, brown, black, young, working, and old. Locals and out-of-towners together but for a moment. Gliding across the sky at the slowest of dances. Advancing and gracing, stilling and murking. What was sunny and bright becomes dusk. The moon takes its place, and there is darkness. A turned-over cornfield is stilled. Eyes skyward, people in awe. A cacophony of nature asking, is it nighttime? No voices moved or sounds uttered, only nature at work. And in an actual blink of an eye, the stillness is broken. The sun reemerges, gone is the stillness, gone the people and community for the celestial dance. Day starts to break for a second time. Eyes return to the horizon, back in their cars, they return, off they go. We remember that for a moment, we stood in a turned over cornfield and were present. Thank you. So that's Eleanor's poem. This is mine. Just wrote it. It's called Memories of Baba's Living Room. Your remaining sons got together and smoked a cigar at your granddaughter's graduation party, and I, for a few minutes, smelled like you again. It reminded me of the times we lived together in my teens, and the smoke would seep into my clothes further than Febreze could ever fully reach. At that house on Moreland Avenue in West Baltimore, a row home crowded with clutter and ghosts. Your ghost stemming from Colombian jungle hunts for defiant drug kings and undercover policing for the tragic pawns. My ghost from tear-filled afternoons when you promised to visit, but your ghost kept you from me and the sun who now keeps you company. House of spirits and memories that linger lightly in the mind's eye, seen now only through squinting through tastes and smells. Of oversweet bubblegum dipped in pine pitch cigar smoke which hangs easily in air, like how Lil Lara used to dangle from the monkey bars. Of neon meat dreams of Salisbury steak microwave dinners smelling of mushroom mixed with well-worn leather, like a broken-in baseball glove. And too much expired Rite Aid brand black pepper, ground to the texture of Comet cleaning powder, playfully seasoning the air of our shared space with nasal landmines. Sterile hospital scent from mouth-burning, mouthwash, rot-gut vodka, Smirnoff spilled on the carpet, the stain turned sticky from King syrup and burnt cork-flavored RC Cola chaser. Plop fizz tablet mist brightens air with sparkling damp, floating smell of stomach smoother. You carry the cup into the living room from the kitchen like a priest holding the Holy Week incense you helped prepare in your altar boy days. But if you switched out the frankincense for aerosolized antacid essence of lemonhead, or chalky tang, or memory of cherry twizzler floating on bits of bubble, resisting glass and gravity defiant in the stale Rojome air. Dipstick La Brea tar pit fuel fumes cuts through smoke when you add oil to your lighter. It's residue staining your khaki-colored fingers, Perry Mason perp getting booked black. Caramel cowtail chew smell from sweet, sweaty Dick Tracy hats in the closet, floating, like flying saucers, like Christmas ornaments. From half-forgotten holidays where, even after you knew we had seen the presence in the forbidden bedroom closet, you put on red and white 80s acerbic chemical faux velvet plastic suit so we could believe. Not in Santa, but in something. Perhaps that father's love could turn holidays into true holy days. Perhaps the possibility, however faint, of black men loving each other in a world that doesn't love them. Or maybe just a hope only felt in flashes, in moments consecrated not only by God, but by intention, by family, by each other. Thank you.
Right on. Thank you, Lawrence, and also Eleanor, who is not here, but is here. All right, our next poet is Max Greg. Max Greg, when asked what their favorite poem is, they said they'll choose Lee Young Lee's Always a Rose. Welcome, Max. And then on deck, we have Jake.
Thank you, Taylor. Thank you, everybody. Thanks to Shailene and all the folks in the workshop. The poem I'm going to read is coccyx is Greek for cuckoo. Coccyx is Greek for cuckoo because Herophilus thought the vertebra comprising the end of the human spine resembled the curved beak of that deceitful bird. Socrates said God had enough of our conjoined love, so severed us one from the other and moved our genitals to the front, our cruising to the apse. It's crazy to wish for what is past, right? This prior form, that fallen tower. I did meet the nicest people, though, on Grindr. like Carmen Alexandra, who came over for masked brunch and knew a lot about orange groves and parasites. We spoke of kissing when it became safe again. It was the first year of our people's second plague. I was new on T, her E she had not yet begun. We were swinging on my porch swing, speaking of our childhoods, when the exterminator came out the front door, dangling a dead rat. "You're good to go," he said. Maybe that was permission. Cuckoos, with their distinctive call, signify transition, unrequited love. Raised by another species, the cuckoo will outgrow the biological offspring of their duped parents, then outgrow the parents, yet they'll stay in the nest and keep on being fed. I often dream I'm eating dinner with a family I must trick into thinking they're my own. Today, I count my dad's on all 11 fingers. Still, Mom says my root chakra needs attention. I saw a hot furry on their way to the But I'm a Cheerleader party at Club Car last night. Pink tail erect, silicone, and functional. I thought, the coccyx is like a stunted tail. It's like it tried, but gave up. Like it needed more help than it got. Everybody has one. One which is actually either 3, 4, or 5, depending on the person. When is Congress going to legislate that? How much backbone are we allowed to have? Thank you.
Right on. Thank you, Max. All right. Our next poet is Jake Leonard. They, them. When asked their favorite poem, Jake chose Charles Wright's Apologia Pro Vita Sua. Welcome, Jake. Our poet on deck is Danica.
Hey, how's everyone doing? This is such a treat. This whole workshop has just been so wonderful. This poem's called It Is Winter in the New Year. My black plastic clothes heat up in the cold January light. Such lust left over with a lover always out of reach. Let me be a husk, cicada shell in the snow, emptied, then to be filled with the New Year's sun. Even the desire to empty myself adds to the never-ending tally, growing in my sleep. Desires I wake up to, cock hard, grinding against my sheets. Light is in the air as the soul is in the body, but I swear the air today was its own kind of light. Why do I suffer in every room I've ever entered? Under the blue, I feel free and the terror that endlessness engenders. I've always imagined our organs, the heart particularly, perpetually illuminated, but our insides are as dark as any other windowless interior. If I manage to kill the ego, integrate the psyche, embrace my soft touch with once calloused hands, will I still remember the moon's reflection on wind-rippled waves? If we are blessed, it is only in feeling. True words fall from a feeling. My attempts at love have always made me a failure of a man. I want to jump into water, swim with frost against the pier pilings, an urge to fall into the tiny split of the horizon, that line between a deep and a deeper blue. I wish to be a woman last night at the party. There is a man and a woman inside me. I'd like to be all one thing, the wild tenderness of light. I can't sum up the lessons I've learned looking at the last light unraveling on the dying and dead yard, shallow water opaque with shine. Tonight, though, rotten fruit frozen in the fruit trees, sunset the color of blood. No, it's actually dark, pink in the Alistratus clouds, mauve maybe. Well, whatever the name, it's beautiful, the sunset, I mean. And then Taylor has really, really, Taylor has just been such a wonderful teacher in so many ways, and he's really helped me break down the distinction between reading and writing. So I'm just going to recite the first 9 lines of my favorite poem, Apologia Pro Vita Sua. How soon we come to Rhodes end. Failure, our two-dimensional sidekick. Flat dream light won't jumpstart or burn us in. Dogwood, insidious in its constellation of part-charred cross points. Springs Via Della Rosa, flashed out in a dread profusion. Nowhere to go but up, nowhere to turn. Dead world wait. They've gone and done it again, Dogwood. Spring sap crippled, winter weathered, arthritic myth limb, whose roots are my mother's hair. Thanks.
Thank you, Jake. All right, our next poet is Danica Myers, who says, it's always hard to pick a favorite poem, but lately she's been thinking a lot about Song by Bridget Pajean Kelly, Me Too, Always. And our poet on deck is Mayon Nguyen. All right, Danica.
Thanks, Taylor. This experience has been so great. Ultra processed. There is a line you must not cross, nor ever trust beyond it, spry cordage of your bodies, heart crane. One, they've worked for 30 years, 40 years, bruising split shift exhaustion, the cruel optimism, immigrant dream, great-grandparents who lost the farm but kept working. We picked berries, so made 425 between us. Oh, grueling romance of work in land-grant animal barns and university office buildings, washed three windows on the inside. 1956, up at 6 so I could start picking peas, and Johnny went out to help load hay for a couple of hours. 1966, art-shelled peas, 3.5 buckets full, so froze 17 packages. They wanted bean pickers, so took the kids out. A new woman gave them a bad time because she resented being asked to pick cleaner. Two, give us this daily banana, this renewable and biodegradable, this bast fiber has a property like weatherproof, provides UV protection. See this beautiful work done on an unvarnished wood table? The satisfaction of collection, brown peel rustling in a paper bag. She's a white British lady wearing a hand-twined hat, short nails, quick fingers, S-twisting three-ply, dried and dampened brown fiber. There's a 40,000-year-old three-ply bark fragment in France. So that's some deep nostalgia. The valuable fibers must be separated from the woody core. Stuff more in the sack, extract knowledge transmitted through intimate person-artifact interactions. Three, a lightweight backbone network harvesting mechanism developed over three decades. Detainees funneled into large-scale warehouses holding people staged for deportation. In the grocery store, I think, how can people buy broccoli at a time like this? In 2025, contracts approached $300 million. Finger-like grasping process, beans, process, fiber, process, people. Did it take long to get through customs? Mechanisms enable human-like optimized grasp control, maximize efficiency, minimize. For citizens, it was very quick. I remember we need broccoli, put 2 crowns in my basket, hesitate, grasp a third. Moreover, the broccoli industry is increasingly facing a severe labor shortage. The promise of people collected in a room, a 3-horsepower blender can liquefy frozen bananas, the process of people collected in a room. Consequently, there is an urgent need for a selective harvesting robot to address these challenges. Thank you.
Right on. Thank you, Danica. All right. Y'all look pretty good poets, huh? All right. Our next poet is Mayon Nguyen. On deck, we have Montoya. And when asked what their favorite poem is, Mayon said, "This Be the Verse" by Philip Larkin. Welcome, Mayon Nguyen.
Hello. I want to start by saying thank you. Before this workshop, I hadn't written in over like 10 years, so it's good to be home, you know? I'll read 2 poems that I worked on throughout the workshop. Babies first. Being born is the hardest thing we've ever done. All of a sudden, I was floating in a sack, squeezed between busy organs and oozing interstates, rolling to my host's hurried commotion. Us, plopped on this plate, rocking against oceans, the only bodies like them known light years round, sailing the infinite expanse. She carried me to this upper crust dirt and red clay, breaking us from ashes to this site of astral prosperity, where fixtures slice all night and famine is banished to ghosts, where by sheer will and magic, dreams transform from maimed to claimed. My life began as a grain of sand melting in the hues of mother marble. What sounded the original cry? What was I reaching for when air found me? Baby's first diaspora, my shriveled alien body breathing by proxy for the last time. That was heavy. I hope this one's lighter. Sofrito, parentheses, anarchist soup. Start by making a sofrito. Carrots, onions, celery, green peppers, finely chopped, cooked down in olive oil until it becomes a paste. We came to the kitchen whole, root and stalk, emerging from depths of true wealth, soil, water, sun. Lay us down on a fallen tree, knowing slice by knowing slice, we burst into tiny bits. Orange, white, and green, forged by the flame, sweet, sweat, soup. Comrades, come nose first. It smells so good in here. Ancestors drift in their wake. When I cook, I am just like them in paradise now, living holy returns by moonlight, rising only to savor sun's saccharine swallow. Thank you.
Right on. Thank you, Mayon. All right. Our next poet is Montoya Kiera, whose favorite poem right now is "When My Brother Fell" by Essex Hemphill. On deck, we have Willow. All right. Welcome, Montoya.
Yeah, it's not that bad up here. Okay. Cool. I'm going to read 3. I'm going to speed run them, but let me just disclaimer, second one, it's not a kink poem. It just sounds like that. Just sounds like that. All right. An instructional guide for acting normal. When prompted, state the following. Yes, I am fine. Thank you for asking. Hobbies are in. Watch the city doves or make bouquets from wildflowers. Strike up a conversation with a butcher about flesh and metal. Lift inner partition to avoid soul sharing. then make eye contact. Monday migraine, chew glass into fine powder and swallow to cut grass, to cut pain. Glass not working, go press button at corporate corner store for strong drugs. Return to yourself gently by purchasing a new identity. Stay away from the darkest alleys, for the you of sorrow lives there. Contemplate which denomination of violence will bring you solace. Weigh different sins silently on your tongue to allay the thoughts in your head. Vengeance is not yours, silver spoon-fed child. Dwell on infinity instead. Recall what you think is the Lord's prayer and hope he takes pity on your soul. Loops through your meek fibers. By now, the cycle is randomly making. This type of sadness is not covered by insurance. Go work, thin bar. If you must stay in bed, try counting the raindrops to drown the what ifs. Catch the sun melting and remember that tomorrow is a maybe. Don't think about how he. Thanks. Thanks. Pet, give me a champion and make it ebony. Better yet, make it mahogany. Give me one with a textured grain of fur. That way I can dig my nails through his coat and marvel at how a savage perfectly amplifies my being. Give me one with a soulful howl. I can worship a pound of puppy fat, but only around its flues and rump and tail anymore, and I'll have to mold it into a prized bitch. My steady shadow will not take water from a silver bowl, but from my hands. That way it knows my palms can give and drown. At my feet it shall sit and fawn over me. I want it to praise me, love me, see me, please don't ever let it leave me. I need it to save me from the beast lurking beneath me. Thanks. And this last one is actually the first one that Taylor read at the workshop. That was what, September? Mm-hmm. August? So yeah, finished with that. Now it's not a good time. Nostalgia drowns me in cut grass and gasoline. There's a tender ache at the crown of my head, and my bones long for a summer where I can wear two polos at the same time with the collars popped while in the Carolina heat and never break a sweat. My nose is full of lavender, and my mouth is full of heartthrobs from the 90s who are either dead or I wish were dead. My mind plays an orange VHS tape on loop, remind me of the times I should have loved harder and the times I should have raised hell. I crave Y2K. Maybe only then will I come back to myself again. Thanks.
Right on. Thank you, Montoya. Okay, next is Willow Rising, They Them, whose current favorite poem is The Bees by Audre Lorde. Welcome, Willow. On deck, we have Rebecca.
Hello, everyone. Thank you. Thank you all for coming out on a Saturday to our recital. All right, I have two poems for you today. The first one is called Inhumane. A cop is not a human. A cop is a decision to sever oneself from the living, to serve the ruling class. A cop is not a human. A cop is nothing but a murderer in training. A cop is not a human. A cop is nothing but a pawn in fascism's fantasy. A cop is not a human. A cop is nothing but a pig. I just want to say I love animals, so I felt bad for the animal pigs, but all right, this one is called A Night at the Ballet. Ask the cold slabs of every kitchen floor I've ever met, and they'd tell you they are the most chaotic ballerina. Each tile knows the tips of my toes well, tracing patterns on their icy surface, prancing like a baby Bambi on their placid stage. Ask the thousands of bees making a hive out of me, and they'll say, bodies are such painful creatures. Hurling forward, spinning and twirling, the language of my body roars, and I find relief. Doe-eyed, resilient and messy, a body undone, an unruly symphony. I run, I jump, I twirl, I scream. According to the kitchen floor, I am free.
Right on. Thank you, Willow. All right, our next poet is Rebecca Remington, who, when asked, said that a poem that she really admires is Charles Simic's In the Planetarium. Welcome, Rebecca. On deck is Gabrielle.
Thank you. Thank you, Taylor and Shailene and all the members of the workshop. This has been a great experience. My poem I wrote for my brother, who lived with brain cancer for 12 years. He died in 2018 at the age of 48. And I had this poem. I've been working on it. I set it aside. And then finally, this year, I got the revision that I think is working. It's in 7 parts. They're all very short. When he was alive and going through a whole lot, chemo, radiation, and a couple surgeries, he became very interested in our ancestors and worked extensively to make a family tree. This is called Tree. One. When you made me a map of the family, I was thinking of other things. Crows, supper, money. I forgot to thank you. I didn't care where we came from. Two. When your wife said about those headaches, when your wife said tumor. Three, a glacial wind tore through the valley and pressed against the house. Four, when we sat among friends of friends at the swimming pool, you were quiet, singular, a man in another country under a brutal sun. You had swum an ocean, had seen a running horned figure on a calcite wall. You closed your eyes. Was your sky as mine, a limitless vault of gray? Five, on your last birthday, I took you to buy a camera. Holding an 80-millimeter lens, you asked the clerk, did you make this? Six. Now my mother tells me about those wonderful lunches at Burger King and your effort to show her every damn lighthouse on the coast of Rhode Island. Seven. When the winter sun rises behind the oak and it's Saturday, no work or less work, for a fleeting second, as the ancestors must have, I feel I am witnessing something astonishing. Even before the tea seeps into my blood, even without a God or the right word for God.
Mm-hmm. Okay, right on. Thank you so much, Rebecca. Our next poet is Gabrielle Speer. She, her, when asked what her favorite poem is, Gabrielle says, "What the Living Do" by Marie Howe. Next on deck is Aaron. Welcome, Gabrielle.
Hi, everyone. The first poem that I am going to read today, the title is inspired by my very favorite TV show, The Sopranos, and it's inspired by an iconic line in it. Cunnilingus and psychiatry brought us to this. I masturbate on my dead grandmother's furniture, my QVC inheritance. At the wake, her childhood friend mistakes me for her. The Jersey Funeral Home gives us a branded mug in a wrapped gift basket. I make tea and put a spoonful of Sicilian honey from her parents' homeland into the souvenir until one night the handle comes off in my hand. I get the message. Her daughter-in-law once threw her a surprise party, and my grandmother left without telling anybody, convinced she was not wanted. Party for one, she always said. If you say something enough, it becomes true. At my worst, I tell Carmela to exorcise herself from me. Leave my body be. And the next poem is, okay, thank you. So it's really important for me as a poet to always bring Palestine into the room. I'm going to read a persona poem, and there's a little intro before it. Between 1947 and 1949, Zionist forces began their genocidal campaign against Palestinians, murdering 15,000, expelling 800,000, and demolishing over 530 villages. Palestinians refer to this as the Nakba, meaning catastrophe in Arabic. The Nakba is an event that occurs in perpetuity. On the ruins of Palestine, the new state of Israel was founded, weaponizing sacred Jewish symbols for the purpose of genocide. The mezuzah. Impress my words upon your heart, bind them as a sign on your hand, inscribe them on the doorposts of your house and on your gates. Deuteronomy chapter 11, verses 18 and 20. Like the soldiers who raid your groves, I am bound by duty, pinned to a commandment I must swallow with pride. It is written your dispossession renders them faithful, but I have heard their whisper swell when you are near. I know I am younger than your olive-stained hands. The dirt beneath your fingernails cannot lie. And yet I have come to believe the history they bind to their palms as much as the rest of them. Who can argue with artifact? My people are a people of their word, and we are only as holy as our makers. How dare you stand upon their threshold and question the logic of my well-worn blessing. Thank you. Long live Palestine.
Right on. Thank you, Gabrielle. All right, our final poet this afternoon is Erin, a.k.a. the Afrofuturist Cookbook. When asked what her favorite poem is, she said, "Paul Robeson" by Gwendolyn Brooks. I like that poem, too. Welcome, Erin.
Thank you. Thank you so much, and thank you to everybody who was here. It's been such a pleasure sharing time with you all during this class. And as Taylor mentioned, yes, my name is Erin, and I've recently started to create under the moniker The Afrofuturist Cookbook. This poem is called Look Here, A Recipe from Tomorrow. Look here. Do not play about my love, deep as space, enriched by black matter, flourishing through eons of care. Look here. This love is us speaking, dynamic soul, shifting stories, certainty in stillness. Here I am now, from there, holding generations of stable, purified knowledge of creation. We are here now together. But we do not love all of us. We should be different. We can do different. We must believe different. How? 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 Look here. A selected recipe for your appreciation. Listen to the visions of a better world for all. Believe as much as you can for a moment longer than you thought you could. Tell us what lives in this space of your belief. Tell me what truth reveals in the moment. Add one more supporting detail. Interrogate the resulting milieu as long as you can stand. Inhale, exhale, keep going that way. Expect a shaky creation. Expect collapse and dissolve. New ideas are so fragile. Look here, a better world is possible. We must participate. Pay close attention to that point where your belief in our liberation falls apart. Tell me what assumptions or faith presses on either side. Tell us what notion needs support. Tell yourself what salve brings your dissonance back to balance. Apply that medicine. Build another conclusion. Conjure peace into existence wherever you can, wherever you can. Construct visions of our trusted community again. Carry her possibility as far as you can once more. Remember precaution, protection, preparation, because it can be dangerous seeking and naming what's volatile while working in the kitchen of liberation. Look here now. There's no safe way to test the limits of love. But your present future lied. We are already love. We can get there together. We will do it whole. Get to cooking.
All right, y'all. Wow, right on. Thank you, Erin. Beautiful. Y'all are beautiful people. It's been a pleasure to work with you. And like I said at the beginning, you know, forget what I said. You know, now it's y'all's job. Work on your poems, you know what I mean? Don't stop working, you know what I mean? Keep reading, most importantly. Keep reading and know each other. I think there are some snacks in the back. I don't have anything else to say because I feel like I talked at y'all for 8 months straight. So thank you. I'm not going to be here anymore in this building, you know, but I'll be in my house and you can find me there. But don't come to my house unless you're invited. But Shailene will send you my email. And you guys have a good afternoon. Happy summer. All right. Happy Juneteenth. Don't say it back unless you're black. That's right. Thank you.
Yeah, I was going to let Taylor have less verbiage. I just want to thank you, Taylor, for the amazing residency and all the workshops, and just really encourage you all to stay and enjoy the spread of food, because I don't want it to go to waste. And I'd love for you all to enjoy a moment of community. We have this room till close to 5 o'clock. So thanks for coming, and take care. Thank you.
Podcast is a production of the Enoch Pratt Free Library and the Maryland State Library Resource Center.
For more information and to access more library resources, please visit prattlibrary.org.